Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Another edition of the Let's Go Ricky Roll podcast with Josh Tolley and Bethel Duran. I'm Bethel Duran, as always joined by Josh Tolley, Ricky Romero. If you're watching on YouTube, it's a little fuzzy right now, but we'll figure that out. But as always, listen on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen and download to your podcast. How are you guys doing? Ricky, let's start with you. Go ahead, Niners. Oh, he's got props today. He's got his Niners on.
Yes. There we go.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
What Dan Schulman have to say about that?
Oh, Dan.
Yeah, what is that? Boy.
Hey, I remember I told you guys last week, he tweeted saying, welcome to the frozen tundra. And I think I tweeted out after the game. I was like, where's my friend at Dan Schulman? Why is he so quiet? Thanks for welcoming us to the frozen tundra. The boys loved it. And I put a gif of Bobby Gold hitting that field goal. And he just like the Kermit the Frog, what am I going to say? What can Packer fans say? All of them who were talking shit to me, including my father-in-law. Ooh. My father-in-law wouldn't stop talking shit. And I showed the boys, Josh, the text messages that I was sending them after the game, dude. I was like, where you at? Why are you so quiet? All that shit you talk. Where you at? Where you at? He said he woke up to 22 missed text messages from me.
That's great. I love the banter. The banter in pro sports is one of my favorites.
It's how you do it. It's how we do it. It's a lot of fun. I know we talked about it last week on the podcast. We're going to evolve with the podcast. Of course, it's baseball centric, but we have other interests besides baseball. Like people are like, how come the reliever's not mad right now? How come he's at the club after blowing the save? Because you know, the game's over. Let's talk about the rest of the life. And right now it's football season, people. Ricky's Niners are one game away from the Super Bowl. Josh's Bills, our Bills. We lost.
That was probably one of the best games I've ever seen. The end of that last 2 minutes was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Just so everybody knows, I'm not the sports fan that yells at the TV or does anything like that. Watching the Bills and Chiefs game, and in all sincerity, I'm not really like a Bills fan. I just live here, so I've become a Bills fan. I've caught myself jumping up and down multiple times in that game. And that's not who I am. I couldn't believe it. It was that awesome of a game.
Yeah, and me too. I'm neutral, right? I'm at work. I'm just like, oh, cool. I'm yelling at everybody, like, yeah, let's go. It was just a fun game to watch.
Yeah, it was almost like the buildup of the games. It was like the Titans and Bengals started, and then the Niners and Packers was like good. You're like, man, how can you top this Niner-Packer game? The Niners were dead, you know? And then they come back and win, and then you get the Tom Brady almost beating the Rams. Like, he's like, everyone thinks it's a game over, and then all of a sudden, like all of LA, because let's face it, there's about 50 real fans in LA that root for the Rams. Yeah, I said it. And then you get the Bills and Kansas City game that you end the nightcap with, and it was just like crazy, man. Like the buildup of the playoffs was this weekend was unbelievable. I don't think we've ever seen a weekend like that.
And that was cool because you get we talk about sports, we go back and forth, and you know, totally grew up in St. Louis area. He knew about the Rams, and we said the promo. If you follow the Let's Go Ricky Roll Instagram page, we had the promo last week of totally saying, hey, I'm a winner, baby. Wherever I go, we win. I even texted us on our separate chat, hey, totally, we're winners, baby. I did the Bills Mafia. I broke a table at the studio. I did all that other stuff.
On the donuts.
No, I took the donuts out. I just left the box there because product placement, you know that. And I'm like 13 seconds to go. There's no way they're going to get down the field. Holy smokes. The Cowboys couldn't do it the week before, and then Patrick Mahomes does it, man. It was just so much fun to watch and be a sports fan. And it's better when you have no rooting interest. I'm just like, hell yeah, let's go. And, you know, my Chiefs and my Niners last week, we did great.
No, but
is there any room on the bandwagon, Ricky, for Beto?
Yeah.
On the 49ers bandwagon? All right. I might come over too now.
No, but you know what? If honestly, and Josh knows about this, like, football is huge in a baseball clubhouse. Huge, like from fantasy football to going to, like, taking trips to Vegas, watching games out there, Super Bowl games, playoff games, all that stuff. Like betting on those games, it's fun. It's cool, you know. So it's just, I feel like when football season comes, like, even because it's during baseball season, sometimes the beginning of the season, and we used to catch ourselves at you know, there's a cool, Josh knows about this bar at Rio Sports Bar in Toronto. That's probably the coolest sports bar you've ever seen, Beto. It's unbelievable. Usually we had a section and we'd go there and we'd watch all the, like, the whatever games we'd catch right after our Sunday game. Usually it was a Sunday night football game. If it was a good game, we'd go out there and watch. So football is a big part of the baseball culture. I know last week we talked about baseball being part of the hockey culture. Football is like that for us.
That's right, because I forget, you know, I'm a LA guy, never left. So I'm not used to knowing that there's football at 8 o'clock at night. For us, football's done at 8 o'clock at night. So you guys would play the 1 o'clock, your afternoon Sunday game, get done, and then you're watching the West Coast games, right? Is that what would happen?
Yeah, we catch a 4:25 games most of the time. I mean, you would park yourself there from 5 o'clock till midnight.
No way.
Hopefully you had a Monday off.
That's why Sunday extra inning game is worst.
That's why, yeah. Well, number one, it's getaway day. But number two, we're missing the football games, and it's September. And if you're out of the playoff hunt, it's even worse, right? Okay. That's actually, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Wait, so let me ask you this. Because I would, when I would go to the clubhouses, you would see guys talk about their fantasy teams. And then, you know, usually on Sunday, the clubhouse, nobody's in there. So we would never go in there on a Sunday anyways. So the football games are all over the place. Has it become one of those, like, guys wear their jerseys, or they're like the territorial, like, say a guy from Florida would be wearing a Dolphins jersey, you rather Niners? Is it, like, really into that, like that?
Sometimes, yeah, it can be. I feel like more, it's grown now more. It used to be, if you were traveling, we were in suits and ties. Now I feel like it's very, wear whatever the hell you want. So they have, you see the dress up days, you see the, you know, wear your football, your favorite football team's jersey and all that stuff. I wish that was going on when I was playing, but we weren't allowed to do that. But yeah, if it was Sunday and you weren't traveling and you were at home, hell yeah, you wear your gear and stuff like that. So yeah, man, it's cool. I loved it. I don't know. Were you ever part of any cool fantasy football leagues, Josh, or did you always stay away?
Yeah. No, I mean, I live for that. I'm the backup catcher. Of course, that's what I do. I am, other than not wanting to be the commissioner, like, yeah, that was my shtick, was the fantasy football league. The one with the Mets when I was younger was awesome. It cost so much. Like, we got like three guys partnering up just to pay the bills, pay the juice to get in. But fantasy football league, when you get the jerseys and you – hat, so you draft your first pick and then there's a jersey waiting for you. That's always pretty cool.
Wait, so that's another question. If we're gonna go to the fantasy world, if you have 25 on a roster and you have a 10-man league, so you just said it totally, you have 2-3 guys as owners.
Well, when this one was steep, so we had to, but most of the time there's more guys that aren't that into it or don't want to come up with the money or they don't have enough time or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's 12 teams, and you find a way to get 12 teams.
You always think that you're like 25 man, and the coaches are in it too. Like, don't fool yourself.
Coaches will take up 4 or 5 spots, yeah.
But you still always struggle to find the last, like, 7-8 guys, you know? Like, it's you would think everyone wants to play, but
You know what? I forgot. The Dominican guys aren't playing, right? Because they don't know anything about football.
No, they're out.
Yeah, I remember the Dodgers would say that they had Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi were in their fantasy league. So it's like,
that's not even fair, though. I feel like that wouldn't even be fair playing against those guys. Like,
I won't say the source, but I heard an awesome story about something like that, where the somebody in the front office was in the league, wanted a trade, and the guy denied the trade. And I said, bro, you better accept the trade. I said, you're going to be sent down, or like, just what? Just whatever the guy wants, you give it to him. He wants your team, give him your team. Like, hell, we're trying to get to the big leagues, not win a fantasy football league.
No, ours was like really cool because they'd set up the clubhouse really cool for it, or we'd go to a restaurant. The one of the funnest ones was the TJ one, Beto, towards the end of my career in Tijuana. Like, all those dudes love fantasy football. And usually the way it goes, it kind of goes by seniority. And if they're kind of looking for one or two more, they kind of get a young guy. Like, I was part of most of the leagues in Toronto when I was younger. But I still didn't know what I was doing because it was like one of my first times. That's where I kind of got hooked on it. And now, you know, my wife hates it. But we'll take a bow, and it's on video that she would the vow was that she would forever root for my fantasy football team. So
I kid you not, at the wedding, you know, totally at normal weddings are exchanging vows. And once again, not because Ricky's here, one of the best weddings I've ever been to. Beautiful sunset overlooking the ocean. I'm like, wow, I should not be here. This is like way too nice. It's beautiful, beautiful. And Cara and Ricky, wonderful people, exchanging really sincere vows. And it was one of the few times I've actually paid attention at a wedding. We all like, wow, these guys, they wrote their own vows. It was cool. And out of nowhere, and I vow to always support your fantasy team. I'm like, look around, like, what the fuck? Did she just say that? But the way that Cara said it, like, straight into Ricky's eyes, like, I am going to, but man, it's going to cost you.
Guy, I was there.
Oh, you were there, totally?
Hell yeah, I was at the wedding.
Oh, man, great wedding, right? Great wedding.
Great wedding. Eating In-N-Out Burger. I still, like, random photos, like, somehow pop up to me. And that's why I was much skinnier. I had this nice black suit on. In-N-Out Burger at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Suit didn't fit anymore after that. Oh, what a wedding. Exactly right. I do remember that.
That was beautiful. Yeah, great vows. Great vows. If I ever get married again, I'm going to have that.
I always bring it up. I'm like, don't, when she starts, like, you took a vow. You took a vow.
Sorry. Look at you, hook, line, and sinker. She didn't take it serious, but you did.
Now, when you guys go ahead,
it's fun, man. I mean, it is fun. It brings it builds a lot of camaraderie, a lot of shit talking. The TJ one, like I was explaining to you guys, it was fun. They invited me. I came in late to the team, and they're like, "Hey, dude, you want to play fantasy football?" And that one was actually pretty steep for like the league. I was like, whoa, like these dudes go all out. So I enter it. I go into the playoffs. I'll never forget. I go into the playoffs barely like making it as a sixth seed. And I like absolutely annihilate everyone in the playoffs. And the money I won, it was hilarious. It was right before New Year's Eve. I was like, hey, Cara, I just won all this money in this league. Let's go on a trip somewhere. Literally the day before New Year's Eve, we booked a trip to Maui, and we took like a 4-day trip with that money. So I sent the guys a picture from Maui, and I was like, hey guys, thanks for your donations.
See, once again, Carl, the vow she took got her to Maui.
Yeah, but ever since then, I haven't been able to fucking win. So she's like, hey, like, come on, let's go.
Yeah, that's part of the shtick. You got to win. You can't be a horseshit fantasy owner.
Yeah, you can. That's me.
I know. And I have a league. Like, you heard about the hibachi and all that shit we did. It's fun. We have a great group of guys. It's a lot of shit talking once again. And the live draft is just something about it. And all the dudes in that league know how bad I want to win it, and I just can't win that league. I just can't. Like, I can't. Like, I can't get into the playoffs. Like, I make all the moves, and then my dudes just drop like flies every year.
So, yeah, and I know people are like, man, all right, fantasy talk. But this is fun because this isn't fantasy talk about who should I play. This is shit talking. And totally, my son runs my team. But this year, this fool, I guess high school and basketball got in the way. He really didn't, like, pay attention. So I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, whatever you do, don't lose to Ricky. Like, the one week we play Ricky, pay attention to him. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I'm like, hey, Ricky's team's not doing well. Oh, no, I already talked to him. I'm like, what the hell? What? You haven't even texted me good morning, but you're over there shit-talking Ricky. And I'm like, wait, you're supposed to tell me where you're at. What'd you do last night? But he's like,
I get on him all the time. I get on him all the time.
Fucking, that's why my kid, he's 16. Wherever he goes and plays in college, the shit talking he's gonna get from fans has nothing on what he gets from the fantasy football people.
Yeah. He'll be much prepared.
No joke. We always tell this story, Beto, the Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl where Russell threw the interception in the end zone. He and Mateo was a little younger.
He was like 10, 10, 11.
He was a little older, no?
Well, that was probably 6 years ago.
Yeah, something like that.
They should have gave the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
Well, yeah.
That game?
But he's a Seahawks fan.
At that age, he had an edge to him. He comes in with the Seahawks jersey talking shit to me. Where's the Niners at? This and that. And your Niners aren't here. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? Like, just nonstop the whole game. They threw that interception. And I was like, oh, shit. I kind of felt bad after because he was in tears, dude.
No, I didn't. He got Ricky got in his face and Matilda, like, he was crying because his team just lost. He was crying because Ricky's in his face. Everybody's like, Ricky. And I'm like, no, that's what he gets. All game long, he's in Ricky's man cave just chirping at him, going after him. Every play, yeah. And I'm like, dude, you've even been to Seattle, bro. But, hey, it's okay. That's his team. Yeah. And he started crying. I'm like, hey, don't be dishing it out for 59 minutes if you can't take the 60th. Life lesson. Yeah. And I'm the bad guy.
You mess with the bully, you get rewards.
I'm telling you, and this is why I don't talk shit. Like, I already have a few Rams fans nitpicking at me, you know, like saying, like, hey, we got this. Like, we're going to beat you guys. And I'm like, okay. Like, I'm just like, all right, yeah, we'll see. Because I don't know.
Okay, but, he's like, going with the same tactic he went with last week. Okay.
And the week before. And the crazy thing, though, like, when you look at it, dude, Beto, the Niners were 2 minutes away from not even making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes. Yeah.
You were there. You're the reason they won that game.
McVay gets a first down and the Rams get a first down. It's a game over. That's mm-hmm. it. The Rams, the Niners go home. It's crazy, man. It's crazy how sports works. And we see it a lot in baseball too. Like, we're the wild card team. You're like, okay, yeah. Like, how the hell did they get in? And then they just run the table. You know, it's amazing what little adversity throughout the year can do for certain teams. And then right at the end, something just clicks and then it comes all together and they just roll with it. And it's fun to watch as a fan when you're watching, whether you're watching football or baseball.
Yeah, Ricky's not a shit talker. He's a really nice guy. He waits. He collects receipts. And then all of a sudden, hey, Dan Showman, what are you doing here? How you doing? Where's my friend Dan Showman? Why is he so quiet tonight? Thanks for welcoming the Niners of the Frozen Tundra. They loved it. And then you sent the field goal. Like, I had to find that.
That's great. Like,
the two nicest people on the planet going back and forth.
That's a good sport. I also had my friend from Ottawa, my boy Flick. And he all week wearing me out. We got the MVP. We got the best receiver. We got the best team. We got this. We got that. We got home field advantage. Good luck. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be on his ass, which he was, but he still won. And just nonstop. And I was like, all right, we'll see. You know, a few years ago, a guy by the name of Colin Kaepernick came in and waxed you guys in your own home. So we'll see. And yeah, sure enough, at the end, I just fired off like 50 messages to him.
And also our boy Stocky in Toronto, who last week enjoyed the conversation about snowblowers, sent me a picture of the Niners jersey. He was all fired up. So it's good. Sports bring people together and we have a lot of fun. All right. So now let's get on to the
– But if the Niners do lose this week, fuck. I don't even want, like, again, that's why I don't talk shit, because I don't want people talking shit to me, because
yeah, well, they're gonna come for you. They're coming for you, Rick.
Rick, it's fine. Are you going to the Niners Rams game this weekend?
I don't know yet. I don't know. My man cave's a good setup, dude. You got a couch, you got a TV.
You don't want to go to the game.
But Tolly,
free booze.
Tolly, last game at SoFi, he went. Niners won.
Yeah, but I don't have any whether I show up or I don't, it doesn't have any
outcome. Good. On that. Thank you for saying that. Damn, people, it has nothing to do with you. There's no such thing as a jinx. There's no superstition. They're going to play with or without you. Stop. Okay.
Except for when Beto jumped on the table before the game was over.
Let me tell you about the mush, baby. There you go. I've been trolling every – if you follow my Instagram, BetTheVision, every team, I'm trolling you guys. Just – it's just too easy. Don't pick my team. And I'm like, yeah, I got you, bro. I'm going to get you. I'm a big fan of your team. No, I get those messages all the time. This week, I love the Niners this week.
No. Don't say that. No, you told me you like the Rams, asshole.
Yeah. There it is. All right, so. Let's get on to the baseball. So we realize that every couple weeks, we're going to keep evolving with the show. If you notice, if you're watching on YouTube right now, there's a little logo that says Blue Wire. We've joined with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. A little round of applause. We're going to be hearing it also. And if you are listening to the podcast, you hear commercials. You're like, wait a minute, because last week they were like, hey, Beto, I hear commercials. Like, yeah. So you hear a commercial before the show and after the show. And during the show, you'll also hear a commercial. Looking forward to working with Blue Wire Podcast Network. There's going to be a Vegas trip involved for us pretty soon. They're at the Wynn. Just go listen to a lot of stuff on the Blue Wire Network. So we're going to get involved with them. You'll see more and more signage with them all year long. So, all right, let's get on to the baseball because I was texting yesterday. And I realized that me as the host, I kind of drag things around. And you know what I do, Tully? This is what I do.
You lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. Do you know what that makes you, Larry?
Lollygagger. Lollygagger, that's what I've been doing.
Dude, I'm watching that tonight, 100%.
What a great movie. That's our favorite line to our kids. You're a lollygagger.
No, you
morning. Oh, yeah, dude. Cara uses it all the time.
That's great. Wait, all right, stop lollygagging.
Yeah, see, that's what it is. So the reason I brought that is because we get so caught up and we're like, okay, we want to have the podcast about 45 minutes. We're 21 minutes in. We haven't even talked about what we wanted to talk about because I've been lollygagging because this is so much fun. So make sure you rate, review, subscribe, and let us know what you like about it. And also go to the Instagram, Let's Go Ricky Rowe, and leave your comments. We do have new stickers coming out with Josh Tolley's name on there. I'm going to make some mugs. We're going to make some shirts. We're going to have some merch for you people out there. Not for free. You got to buy it, but we'll take care of it. No, the stickers will be free because I paid for the stickers. All right. But people are like, oh, can we get a mug? People in Toronto were like, hey, a coffee mug would be great as I'm listening to the podcast. I'm like, that's great. Cool. And I'm like, you know, we can do that. We're going to invest in some merch for you guys. We'll take care of it.
I got a guy.
Shocker. You got a guy. You got the guy who can send it out there. All right. So let's get into the baseball. Every week, I'm going to present Ricky and Tully two topics about baseball that they have no clue about, and I'm just going to get their full reaction from it. Later on in the show, we talked about it. We love hearing old man Tully, who's only 35 years old, same age as Sean McVay, the Rams coach, but he is an old soul. We're going to give Tully 59 seconds. That way we can post it on Instagram. It's going to be called Tully Time, where he can rant about whatever he wants. I'm not going to bother him. Ricky's not going to say anything. Focus on Tully. So I have no clue what he's going to say. That's coming up later on in the show. But right now, all right, guys, Major League Baseball, or baseball in general, they like to tweak things around, right? So let's start with this one. This comes from J.J. Cooper, Baseball America. The Frontier League of Professional Baseball has announced that it will use sudden death baseball to settle tie games, right? So sudden death. After one extra inning, if the game remains tied, the home team will choose to hit or pitch. The hitting team puts a runner on first. They get three outs. If they score, the hitting team wins. No runs, the pitching team wins. Tully, I'm going to save Ricky's for this. That's why I'm going with you, Tully, first. Tully?
You want me to start my rant right now? No. Jesus Christ.
Now, it's the Frontier League of Baseball. It's independent, different.
I know, but what happens is this stuff starts leaking. This stuff starts leaking into the brains of minor league baseball, major league baseball. Major League Baseball is getting a pulse on all of these things. That's why next thing you know, the Atlantic League, who's, I think MLB owns the Atlantic League, will try these things. Like, let's just keep baseball what it was. I understand it's a frontier league and there's not a whole lot of money in it and they want to just move the games along. However, like, that's why we play the game. I made a comment a little bit to somebody about the overtime in the NFL because I felt like it was brutal that Buffalo didn't get a shot, especially the kind of game that it was. But it's for a different conversation. But I don't like this. I don't like the guy on second base. I've said it before on the show. Like, dude, learn how to run a bullpen. Learn how to manage a roster. Like, that's part of the game. Now, I don't want to play 19 innings either, but that's just what it is. I think we're losing the core value of the American pastime of the game. It's now leaked down into the Frontier League, which I think is sad.
Yeah, I agree too. I mean, leave baseball alone. Everyone was always talked about this whole, like, oh, it's too long, but it ain't much longer than what it used to be. It's not like these rules are cutting it that much shorter. It's not very often that a baseball game goes, 15.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
60 innings, right? Every once in a while, we make it seem, or everyone makes it seem, like it happens every night, but it doesn't. the beauty of like Josh said, the beauty of tie games, it's you learn how to use a bullpen, you learn how to manage it, you learn how to, use certain guys in certain situations, and everyone, a lot of people like to bitch and complain about the whole, like, oh, too many pitching changes. Well, that's part of the strategy sometimes. And I feel like we face those guys out, like the left-handed specialist or the right-handed specialist that come in and do their thing. I mean, do they not matter? Like they matter, in a baseball game. And I think it's key to have those type of guys. And those are the guys that sometimes can pitch three nights in a row because they come in and face a hitter or two. The first guy that comes to mind is Javi Lopez, a guy that Dodger fans are very familiar with because he would come in and do his thing from the left side with the Giants. And to me, there was beauty in that. Oliver Perez, Beto, he's the left. He's a guy that comes in. And Randy Choad was another guy that comes to mind in Tampa when he'd come in and just do his thing from the left side and all that stuff, man. I just, everyone wants to speed up the game, but if why?
Guys, I've asked this before. What's the difference between 2 minutes and four – 2 hours and 48 minutes or 3 hours and 5 minutes? Okay. Yeah. I understand what the answer is, but is it really that big of a deal? Like, what's better than going? I mean, we should go to the ballpark with my parents and you never knew when the games were going to end.
Yeah.
It could end at 10 o'clock. They could end at 1 o'clock.
Times are different.
And their whole thing is, we want to get more people engaged in the game. Well, promote it better. That's my thing. We don't promote baseball as good as the NFL, the NBA. Like, we don't promote it as much. We don't promote the young stars in this game. And I feel like, we can do more work in that.
All right, now let's stick to right here what the Frontier League's going to do. Tolley, put your manager hat on, which one day you might do. You're in the Frontier League managing. The hitting team puts a runner on first. You get three outs. Do you want to hit or do you want to pitch?
I think, the strategy is where are you at in your bullpen? Because if you see after one extra inning,
yep,
right? So now
it's the 11th inning.
Right. So you got to figure out, what happens is you got to figure out where you're at in your bullpen. So I guess my understanding of this is the visiting team.
No, the home team would choose.
The home team chooses.
Oh, home team chooses to hit or pitch.
Yeah.
I'd probably pitch because
I feel like
good pitching beats good hitting.
Yeah.
And I would lean more that way. But if your bullpen is shot and you got to take a shot at it and try to hit.
Now, I'm the guy who's like, hey, put him on second. Let's go. Let's start with that. During the regular season. Now, for this rule, No, I'm just saying as a fan. As a fan here. Put a guy on second during the regular season, I have no problem. This rule right here about hitter pitcher, this is stupid. This one is like, come on, man. This ain't some baseball. If runner second, both teams are going to have it, same advantage. Okay, cool, whatever. Like, you're going to hit or pitch? Like, come on, man. That one's done.
All
right. So
game loses all credibility.
Without it, that's like something they do in PE because they got 5 minutes to go.
No shit.
It's like, last shot wins like in basketball. Last shot, and then the bell wins. No. This is an eighth grade PE right here.
That's exactly what it is.
All right, here we go. One more, the second topic. We got to come up with a name for this. Not like two up or two down or something like that. All right, here we go. From Sports Illustrated. Should Major League Baseball adopt robot umps as well? Because robot umpires are to be used behind home plate in AAA starting this upcoming season. Robot umps in AAA. No. Ricky, let's start with you.
No. We don't even know how good these things are. And didn't our good friend Alex Sanabia, who pitched in the Atlantic League?
Yeah, Atlantic League.
They tried it, and he said it was an absolute disaster. So now we're just going to put it in AAA, where guys are on the cusp of being big leaguers. And it to me, it's just a recipe for disaster right now. We don't even have the full data on this. And like I said, it was a failure, according to a guy who played there. So I don't think baseball should adopt it in the big leagues. No, I mean, if you're eventually going to go that way, there should be so much trialing of these robo umps to see how good they are. But I to me, just leave the game alone. I mean, it's part of the beauty of it is the miss. When you have a missed call and you have a manager going out and arguing, everyone gets fired up and everyone loves seeing stuff like that. And if you have robo umps and you just, so what, I feel like the game loses its, what it is, it uses a bit of its identity. And to me, that's the whole beauty of baseball. There's going to be missed calls. A lot of it was Ken Revisa was, hey, next pitch. And you got to overcome those situations. You got to overcome the shitty umpires and stuff like that. Now it's like, we're making it like way too easy or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I think we've lost all credibility at this point. I mean, the energy of the old days of when Lou Piniella, Bobby Cox, those guys would come out and argue balls and strikes or hitters would get thrown out. I think to Ricky's point, like it didn't work in the Atlantic League. So you think about putting it at the highest level before the big leagues, like you got guys' careers on the line and we're using a computer system that's not whistle tight.
Yeah.
I understand the opposing argument. Like, so the opposing argument I think is this, right? There's so much money in the industry that like we can't have missed calls anymore. The difference between losing a championship series game and winning a World Series game in the playoff shares money, as we talked before, that it's such a wide gap. So some people are going to argue that point of like, we can't have any more mistakes. But once again, like overcoming those mistakes, like when you have umpires that are bad behind the dish, and I think the world knows who they are. So as players, we definitely know who they are. Like that was the luxury of being a catcher that had a relationship with a bad umpire was we knew how to navigate a guy that was terrible behind the dish. So like I don't know. It's frustrating to me. And again, and I'm not by no means am I this old school, as Beto says, like grumpy old man. But like this stuff makes me grumpy. Like it makes you not want to watch the game.
Yeah.
Like what's the delay? Let me ask you guys this: what is the delay? How tight do they have this thing?
It's an interesting concept. It's going to be machines to determine whether or not pitch is swung at is a ball or a strike. It's not too many details are out, obviously, because that's a union thing and Major League Baseball owns AAA. So there's not too many details of how it's going to happen. But it's, you can obviously argue both sides like, hey, yeah, you want to get the calls right. But like Ricky's point, the technology is there, but it's not tight. There are still mistakes to be made.
This has to be beta tested 5 billion times over, right? It can't just, you can't just run it in the Atlantic League and
or in AAA.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what I'm saying. Like before, that shouldn't even be a question in AAA.
I just
the conversation is somewhere else in minor league baseball, which is fine at that point if you're trying to test it. But
to me, it's like, what if you're that guy that's up and down? You know, that's just, you're going from robo ump to real ump, and it's just like, how do you find yourself? Oh well, in AAA, I was getting this as a strike, and in the big leagues, I'm not. You know, so yeah. It's like. I like to Josh's point about umpires. I found beauty in trying to find the guy's strike zone. You know, like, hey, like so and so, you're not. I thought that was a strike. You go and talk to him and say, hey, you know, Angel, where do you have this pitch? Oh, I have a little bit out, but you know, keep hitting it, and I'll give it to you. Whatever it is, like those conversations with umpires. You know, and I know, and we all know who the bad ones are and stuff like that, but. You navigate through it and you manage it and I feel like that's the beauty in baseball and I'm sure a lot of media guys hate hearing that because we watch the game on TV, you see the little box, you see where
that box is wrong too because it's off a little bit because the camera angle is off.
Right, it doesn't. I don't believe adjust to hitter's heights either.
No,
so it stays in the same spot. Hey, one quick question, Ricky. How come every time balls and strikes get brought up, everybody, no matter what podcast, what newspaper, anything you read, is Angel's name always mentioned? I feel bad for the guy. Like we can't come up with somebody else that's actually.
Well, Eric Gregg dead, RIP.
Yeah, Eric Gregg.
Angel, for some reason, was always, excuse me, pretty decent behind the dish.
The best part is that we don't even have to say his last name.
Can we get that on recording? And let's get that on the Twitter that you said that. You might get some scrutiny because there's a lot of people that don't like him. I have to tell you, out of all the umpires, there's only one guy I did not like. Actually, two guys. I will not say their names. But Angel was a guy that I got along with. He was fine. You knew what you were getting for the day. He'd work with you. You could, hey, Ange, come on, dude. Are you kidding me? Are we watching the same game?
It's one of those things where you know that – I'm going to show this guy up. The first I show him up, it's over. So that's why you approach him a certain way and you ask him in a nice, not like, hey, where the fuck you have that or something like it's like, yeah. And a lot of the times, yeah, the catchers usually play a big role, Beto. They're the ones that are, hey, let me handle it, Rick. Let me handle it. Like, don't, I don't want you getting in a shouting match.
But that's what they're supposed to do, right?
Yeah, because
when you defuse the situation. Like,
usually you see those when the pitcher and the catcher are walking after a third out and they kind of meet in front of the dugout. And it's usually like, hey, where did he have that? He's like, I got you, dude. I got you. Don't worry. He's going to give it to us. And you're like, okay. You know, and that's, again, like Josh is saying, that's the beauty of trying to find certain guys is building that relationship with those umpires. And I feel like if you go to that computer, it kind of loses that. And again, Baseball has been what it's been for the past, I don't know, 100 years. And it's just leave it alone and let's continue to play ball and let's just continue to grow the game the right way, you know, and let's continue to get as everyone involved. You know, we want to see more, you know, Mexican kids, the inner city kids in pro ball and stuff like that. So let's grow the game that way instead of, oh yeah, let's change the rules. Let's do this. Let's do that. It's too long.
My thing is this, and totally kind of touched on it. So you're going to go learn to play one way as a kid, right? You're going to learn how to play in high school, travel ball showcases, and then all of a sudden you get to the big leagues, and now the strike zone completely changes everything else, right? The baseball, the rules are the same everywhere you go to an extent, but it's just different. So here's the difference. It's called the automatic ball and strike, ABS. You're going to hear that a lot, the ABS system. It was used in low-level A ball, the Southeast League last year, the All-Star game for the Independent Atlantic League, and also they used it in the Fall League this past year. But they're also looking for people to operate the system. So if you're in Charlotte, El Paso, Tacoma, there's job openings for you to learn. You have to learn how to use this computer system to operate it. So it's not like you have official umpire or anything like that. It could be Tony down the street, who's like, hey, I applied for the job. I know baseball. Here you go.
I just want to see the first like few mistakes. What are people going to say to that?
We'll fix it. Right?
Yeah, but if it costs you a game, they will have no problem with it because technology
Let me ask you guys this. So, what happens to all the catching stuff? All the ripping strikes, stealing strikes, all of that. So this is going to be an interesting play when the lockout is over, I think, right? You're going to find teams possibly go out and get like 4A catchers who can just flat out hit, right? Like you no longer have to be a good receiver. So when these teams are going through like these big portfolios of players trying to decide what metrics matter to them and where they stand and how valuable they are and what they should pay them to go to AAA. Like, I think it's fairly black and white. Let's find a dude that can hit. Let's focus only on hitting because as we said before, you no longer have to call a game, right? Like you get the wristband. If you can block halfway decent, you don't have to throw anymore either. So you really just have to learn how to block. Like, I wonder what avenue these guys take, especially at that level.
That's a great point.
Because you get to develop, it's developing a free hitter is what it's doing, right? Because now you don't need the total package.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. If a computer is going to be calling balls and strikes, you're right. There's no art in catching anymore. It almost like it loses. It. Like, what are you going to do? Over. You're going to strike. The computer already called it crossing the plate before you even caught it. So. It don't matter.
That's a great point, man. Good conversation. I like that. Good job. All right. Two topics every single week. We're going to find them out for you when we don't have a guest. And next week, we're going to have a guest for you. We're going to continue to bring more and more as we evolve on the Let's Go Ricky Roll podcast with Josh Tully. Oh, Tully, by the way, we got a request from somebody. You know, somebody's favorite quote. And the request was from you. I need you to explain what this means right here. I don't know who the voice is, but I need you to explain this.
You know, this isn't the try league. You know, this is the get it done league.
Okay, one more time. One more time.
You know, this isn't the try league. You know, this is the get it done league.
Josh Tully, you have the floor.
It's a great line. It's such a great line.
We were in a skit.
Who is it? Who is it?
Josh Donaldson.
Okay.
Great goatee, by the way. How awesome is that? I forgot he had that. We were in Houston, I believe, and we were struggling. I want to say we just got swept, and we were leaving. And nobody listens to anybody's interviews. And JD makes that comment. This is the get it done league, not the try league. I thought was the best. And the moment we got on the bus, obviously it was out instantly to the Twitter world. And everybody started talking about it on the bus. And like, I think that poked us a little bit. That woke us up. I couldn't believe it. But that it's the truth. It's the big leagues. Oh, we're not trying to just, oh, okay, we're out here to try. No.
What made him make that comment? Do you remember?
What made him make that comment? If I remember right, I don't know the exact context of it, but I believe that it was like, I'm going to say something about runners in scoring position or something offensively about trying, you know, and he's like, no, ain't nobody in here trying, dude. We got to get this shit done. Like that was like, yeah, I love it.
One more time. Josh Donaldson on Sportsnet a few years ago.
You know, this isn't the try league. You know, this is the get it done league.
Never heard it before. You guys brought it up yesterday in the text, and I'm like, okay, let me go find this clip. It's beautiful. So every single week, Tully, I'm gonna go find a clip of audio, and I'm gonna bring it up. Whether it's Earl Weaver in 1970, a Lasorda, or you know Chico Estrella, whatever. I'm gonna find a clip. We're gonna play for you every single week.
Hey, can we get the Kurt Bavakwa?
Yes, we can.
Lasorda clip. Yes, we can. Next week. That's what I want next week. I'm actually going to listen to it right as we hang up.
Old man told me, going to 1980 right there. Couldn't hit water. He fell out of a fucking boat. You know, the story about that is you have the Bavakwa. What do you think of Kingman's performance? Right?
Yeah.
Tommy Lasorda talking about Dave Kingman. The man who asked the question, right. Paul Olden, who's the Yankees PA announcer. He was a young reporter here in L.A. So
no way.
Yeah. So Paul Olden, who's the Yankees PA announcer who took over for the late Bob Shepard, is the one who asked Tommy Lasorda, "Hey, what do you think about Keeman's performance?" And he went, "We'll do that next week. We'll get Tommy Lasorda's. What do you think of Keeman's performance next week?" Man. All right. So we got two elements to the show. We got two questions for Ricky and Tolley. Good baseball questions. Good answer. Good banter back and forth. We're gonna get you a quote from somebody, and then now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time. We've been having a good show. Ricky, I need you to get your 49er helmet one more time, Ricky. We're going to end the show with you on the 49er helmet because the video was a little blurry early on. Don't put it on just yet, Rick. Okay, go ahead. At the end of the show, we're going to put you on because we're going to give you the Ricky there. But right now, it's a new feature we have on the Let's Go Ricky Rowe show. It's time for Tolley Time. Josh Tolley gets 59 seconds to rant about anything. It could be about baseball. It could be about the snow. It could be about the lack of hunting. It could be about the barn. It could be whatever he wants. It is now time. And look, we even have a little graphic up there. Tolley Time! Go for it, Tolley.
Wow, we're so professional. I'm going to set my timer because I could get a ranting, boys. All right. Episode one of Tolley Time. I am frustrated at the NFL's overtime rules. It is absolutely, and I told you before, I am not a huge Bills fan or whatever, but that was a bunch of crap that the Bills had no chance to get the ball back and drive down the field. The NFL needs to fix that. We talk about it in all these other sports, too much money on the line. These guys are livelihood. You don't get a chance. You lose on a stupid coin toss. And then the coin toss gets scrutinized by the media. Oh, you never called tails. Oh, if you would have called heads and it landed on tails, you'd have said the opposite. So my frustration, I was actually heartbroken. I spent so much time watching that game and the energy behind the game and all of that to come down to a stinking coin toss. A coin toss is what cost the Buffalo Bills a shot at the Super Bowl. Tolley Time, episode one. Oh, look at that. 1 minute.
On the dot. Woo. Oh, my God. Tolley, you know what you were doing?
That's a bunch of shit, though.
You know, you were not doing this. You lollygagged the ball around. You weren't doing that.
You lollygagged. You went down the first. You lollygagged in and out of the dugout. You know what that makes you, Larry?
Lollygaggers.
I can see Ricky and Carla doing that. Ricky, lollygaggers.
Lollygaggers.
Sebastian's always like, Daddy, what did you call me? A lollygagger.
They're gonna go to school and do that, man. And you know, as always, we got creative fans here.
That's awesome. Oh my god.
That is great.
How awesome is that?
So we're lollygagging. We'll put that up on the Instagram. The lollygaggers totally is the manager. I'm in the back. I don't even know what I'm doing. But yeah, Ricky's yelling, lollygaggers. We'll be right there for you. All right, here it is. The final part of the show. Ricky Romero, you have the floor. Put that helmet on, bro. Go for it.
Oh, my God.
49ers. That's it. That's all I got. I mean.
No, you got to give us better than that.
Well, shoot, man. I mean, again, they're one game away.
Step off.
Man, I don't know. You put me on the spot. I thought this was just Tolley Time. I don't
know. No. Hey, Bengals Chiefs.
Oh, we got the picks. Oh, you know what, dude? It's been so fun watching Joe Burrow play. Like, even though he got annihilated by the Tennessee defense, that dude never wavered, never said anything. He just kept playing. So, you know what? I'm going to go with the upsets, the road teams, obviously. I'm going to go Cincinnati Bengals versus the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl.
Woo! 1988 coming back. All right, show the side of the helmet, Rick. Show that side of the helmet.
Oof.
You're lucky you guys are not in front of me, or I'd fucking tackle you guys.
You would.
Oh my god!
Maybe not you. Two-time All-State defensive end.
Illinois State football champion right there, Josh Tolley. All right, guys, we'll see you next week for Josh Tolley, Rick Romero. I'm Bethan Rand. As always, thanks for listening to the Let's Go Ricky Rowe podcast with Josh Tolley. Go to Instagram, the Let's Go Ricky Rowe. where you can now hear Totally Time. We'll see you guys next Tuesday. Thanks, as always. Appreciate you guys. See you soon.
See ya.